Discover All of Your Colors, written by Susie Carter, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Clark has a lot of feelings about Bruce, but he wasn't expecting them to get quite so obvious. Notes. For the Clark Kent's Alien Biology Week prompt for day 5, something is missing? ?/ That's an interesting extra. I went for the interesting extra option, and given that, I have no idea how this turned out so T-rated. It had to happen eventually, I guess. Clark has a lot of feelings about Bruce. He hated Bruce for a while there. Hated him, resented him. Bruce Wayne and Batman both, even before he realized they were the same person. He itched to hold him accountable, to force him to admit that he had a hell of a plank in his own eye, that he had hardly had the right to pass judgment on Clark. And then Clark had been terrified of him. Terrified, mindless, utterly uncomprehending, because he had no idea what Bruce had done to him or how, what that green vapor was, why every power he'd ever had had deserted him at once. He'd hardly had a chance to figure out what was going to come next between the moment Bruce had sliced open his cheek and the moment he died. It had been the hate, the fear, that he'd remembered the best when he'd first come back. He hadn't known what was going on, where he was, or what was happening. But he'd recognized Bruce. It hadn't been until after the next fight, after they'd saved the world together a second time, that he'd been able to take 10 minutes and just be around Bruce. And the list has changed since then. He'd already trusted Bruce with Ma, with the world. He'd already known they could work together in a fight if they had to. But he wasn't expecting it to be easy. He wasn't expecting it to be good. He's friends with Bruce now. He likes Bruce. Doesn't understand him, not always. But he's learned it's worth the effort to be patient, to stop and take the time to try to work out what Bruce is thinking. Because Bruce is smart, dedicated, because he cares so much more and does it so much more intensely than Clark had understood. So unhesitatingly, for someone who thinks so much about everything else, as if he doesn't know any other way to be, any other way to live. And sure, Clark had felt a few other things here and there. Bruce had been so towering, so inexorable, so implacable that terrible night, glowering down at Clark in the rain as Clark had knelt helplessly at his feet and twisted in with the fear had been. Then it had been watching Bruce fight. First Doomsday and then Steppenwolf. The way he moves, the way he uses his body, because he can't be called quick compared to Clark, to Barry, and he couldn't be called strong compared to Diana or Arthur or Victor, but it's never mattered. He always knows where to be, when, what to do when he gets there. He's figured it out, and the next 10 steps that come after it, and somehow he's never at a disadvantage unless he chooses to be. And after that, it's been moments, now and then, a particular look in his eyes as he thinks, a particular expression on his face when he's tired, the way his shoulders look when he's shrugging his way into a dress shirt after changing out of the bat suit. His hands around the dizzying array of tools he uses on his gear, or moving over any of his hundreds of bat gadgets. The bare lengths of his forearms, when he's absently rolled his sleeves up and out of his way. The curve of his spine, the way it curves descending into the small of his back, when he links his hands at the back of his neck while he's picking over a problem on the work table in front of him. The salt and pepper of his hair, the stippled shadow of stubble along his jaw late at night, the muscles in his upper arms. It adds up, is the point. But it's nothing Clark can't handle. They're friends. Clark likes Bruce. Bruce is attractive. Clark thinks about him sometimes. A lot. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Clark's got it under control, and it's not going to be a problem. And that stays true. Until the day it isn't anymore. There's no warning. There's nothing about the moment it happens to make it obvious that it's... that Clark's about to... It's a late night in the hall. Routine. One of 100 just like it. Bruce tends to stick around, finding one thing or another to work on, upgrading the security system or tinkering with a piece of equipment. And if Clark comes and finds him, sits with him, he never tells Clark to go away. Sometimes he doesn't look up, doesn't speak, and Clark doesn't either. Just sits there in the quiet and watches him work. It used to make Clark nervous when that happened, but he's learned to love it, that he gets to just be there, share a space with Bruce, and that Bruce will let him. Sometimes he's got something planned, a gala for Bruce Wayne or a patrol in the small hours for Batman, and it gets cut short. Tonight is neither of those. Bruce is tired, but not in the strung-out way where he's winding himself taut with it. In the soft-edged way where he keeps running an absent hand through his hair, letting his head tip back, absently rolling his shoulders. He doesn't have enough hands. He asks Clark easily, readily, for help. To hold something impossibly complex and precise in exactly the right position while he fiddles with it. Clark, stupidly pleased, and he can tell his face is warm, just has to hope it's not actually adding up to a visible flush. And sure, of course it means something to him. It can't not. Having Bruce sitting so close to him, their arms keep brushing, leaning over Clark's hands, Bruce's own inches away. Bruce has to remove a piece of casing, flip it open. The back of his wrist touches the side of Clark's forefinger for an instant. Clark's heart kicks him in the ribs hard. The feeling, the newest one, swells up in him like a wave. A rush of raw, stinging tenderness. And maybe it's stronger than usual, a little. Maybe he has to close his eyes against the pang of it, just for a second. Bruce makes a low, absent sound in his throat.
Can't get at it like this. Here, can you turn your left hand just...
And then, before Clark can even get it together and start to move... Bruce's hand has closed around the heel of his own, Bruce's thumb settling across the inside of his wrist. It barely lasts 2 seconds. But apparently, that's enough. It starts even before Bruce has lifted his hand away. But it's indistinct. Maybe just a trick of the light. When Bruce's palm... his thumb, aren't covering it up anymore, though. It's unmistakable. Clark's glowing. Glimmering, really. A soft, uneven light coming from somewhere under the surface of his skin, pale and subtly shifting, with the faintest pearlescent color tinging it gold, green, blue, violet, there and gone. Bruce notices. How could he not? He goes perfectly and utterly still, hands suspended over the gadget again, but all of his attention on the tiny, shimmering aura crossing over the back of Clark's hand. The inside of his wrist, too, right where Bruce's thumb was. Bruce probably can't see it from the angle that he's at, but Clark can. Can almost feel it. Warm and bright, as if there were sunshine falling on him, there and there alone. And he's got the terrible, sinking feeling that he knows exactly why it's happening and exactly what it means. He wants to leap up, slap his other hand over it to cover it up and babble something embarrassing before fleeing the room. But he understands in a perfect, crystalline instant that that's absolutely the last thing he can let himself do. There couldn't be any more obvious way to tell Bruce he knows what it is, or at least that he has a guess, and that it's something Clark doesn't want Bruce to know, and that would be the beginning of the end. Not because Bruce wouldn't try to respect his privacy, would insist on prying it out of him, but just because some part of Bruce wouldn't be able to let it go, would pick at it and turn it over and over in his head until he'd worked it out. So Clark forces himself to sit still and wait it out. That stab of panic probably helps make it go away. After 5 seconds, it's a lot fainter, and after 10, it's gone. His entire hand opaque again, perfectly normal. Bruce watches the spot for another 2 seconds, eyes narrowed in intent, and then looks up. Clark hopes distantly that the expression on his face is still stunned enough to pass for confusion. And he gets lucky. It must be, because Bruce raises an eyebrow, the line of his mouth abruptly wry, and says, "I take it that hasn't happened to you before."
No, Clark says, which is true.
Looking back, there had been moments with Lois where he'd felt overwhelmed, almost brighter inside than he could stand, and he thought now and then it might almost be literal, the faintest glow rising out of him. But he'd always been able to get it out, let it out with Lois. He'd been able to touch her, kiss her, tell her. This thing with Bruce, it's been, God, months. Months that he's been feeling it, pushing it down where it isn't going to get itself seen, making sure it stays inside him, trapping it inside his skin, and he'd had no goddamn idea that it could ever get bright enough to show through anyway, literally.
"And you're all right," Bruce is saying, steady now, serious. All amusement gone. Clark's throat closes. He nods. "Anything you can think of that's happened to you in the last 2 weeks that might be having side effects?"
"No," Clark manages. "We haven't fought anything magical in almost a month. I'm fine. I feel fine." He somehow figures out how to lift a shoulder, half a shrug. "The weather's been good this week. It's probably just a little too much sun." It isn't a lie. It could be. It isn't like he actually knows for sure. Bruce watches him a moment longer, and Clark's heart is in his throat. But then something in the line of Bruce's shoulders, his mouth, relaxes.
"All right. Tell me if it happens again."
Clark bites down on the inside of his cheek. "Sure,"
he says. Of course. Maybe that won't be a lie either. Maybe it was a fluke. Maybe his gut's cold, rock-solid certainty is misplaced, and it's never going to happen again. Yeah. Right. It isn't a lie for a while, at least. At first, it's because it really doesn't happen again. Bruce just doesn't touch Clark that often, in the ordinary course of things, and if it's Clark's bare skin, even less often. There are a couple of times he might technically have kept it to himself. The light's too faint to show through the Superman uniform, Clark's civilian clothes, and even when he feels it, that lingering sunlight warmth where Bruce's hands have been, it's not like he's stripping down to see whether he's right. So maybe he's wrong. He promised to tell Bruce if it did happen again, not if he thought it might be. He skates by on the letter, if not the spirit, for a couple of weeks. And then, well. The thing is, he doesn't have to tell Bruce about it. Bruce is the thing that causes it. Bruce is right there. Bruce can see it for himself. The next time it happens for certain, they're at the hall again. Bruce needs a mug, Clark passes him one, and he isn't as careful as he should be. Their fingers brush as Bruce takes it from him, and then Bruce goes very still, and Clark looks down with grim resignation to see three of his fingertips, the length of his forefinger where Bruce's thumb slid along the side, alight, as if he dipped his hand into liquid mother of pearl. Then it's in the middle of a fight, Clark realizing in an instant what the beeping he hears means, lifting off in a breathless rush that makes the world stand still around him, and gripping Bruce by the arm, the back, just in time to lift him up and carry him away from the explosion when the hidden bomb goes off. Bruce, reacting on reflex, grips the thing that's taken hold of him, closes one gloved and gauntleted hand hard around the nape of Clark's neck, thumb pressed into the line of Clark's jaw, the base of his hand set against the side of Clark's throat. Clark can't see it that time, but he can see Bruce, the way Bruce's gaze drops and snags on what must be a riot of multi-hued light spilling out from under his fingers. It gets sharper, brighter, clearer, more and more colorful, dizzying brilliance rippling out across Clark's skin. It stops being just the places Bruce is touching, the exact size and shape of Bruce's palm or fingers against him. It starts there, but then spreads, spills out, too much to contain anymore. Bruce still asks him about it at first, tries to correlate it to anything. The weather, the way Clark had suggested the first time. Things Clark has eaten or drunk lately, places Clark has been. He gets terrifyingly close once, asking about Clark's mood, whether he's feeling anything particularly strongly. Clark has no idea what his face does, mutters something noncommittal and gets out of the room as quickly as possible. But for all he knows, that means Bruce has decided it's a Kryptonian threat display, a startled response that means one of Clark's alien reflexes gets tripped by Bruce in his space. And it isn't like it's getting worse randomly. There's a certain grim inevitability to it for Clark. He can feel it, and he's not getting over it. Not even close. Bruce stops needing to touch him at all. Proximity's enough. Bruce brushing past him, leaning close to reach for something, makes him shine like a mirror, like Bruce is the one who's come alight. Bright, the nearer Bruce has come, fading softly away as the distance grows.
It spirals from there. Clark can look at Bruce across the room, and light will seep up his throat and into his face. Listen to Bruce speak over a comm channel and feel that sweet, sunny glow trickle across his skin. Clark twists himself up in his sheets at night, teeth in his lip, two fingers inside of himself, and lights up his bedroom like the northern lights, doing nothing but thinking about Bruce. He can't make himself say a word, but it must be obvious. Not to the rest of the league, maybe. They don't know how it started. By definition, haven't seen all of the times it happens when Bruce and Clark are alone together. Diana's curious, but gently doesn't ask. Arthur doesn't seem to care. Barry thinks it's fascinating, apparently too distracted by the fact of it to stop and wonder why it's happening. And if Victor picks up anything, sees anything with that cyborg eye that tells him more than he wanted to know, he's merciful. He keeps it to himself. But Bruce... Bruce knows. Bruce must know. And after another month, it's too much for him to ignore anymore. Clark hears Bruce coming long before Bruce has actually reached the monitor room, but he doesn't leave. There isn't any point. And it's not like avoiding this conversation is going to save him. So he's still sitting there, waiting, when Bruce reaches the doorway. Waiting, and glowing already. Helpless, shifting colors, chasing each other over his exposed face and hands. Muted a little bit, presumably by the heavy, cold dread in the pit of Clark's stomach, but not enough. Clark, Bruce says quietly. Clark doesn't look at him. He clasps his shimmering hands together in his lap and says, "Bruce?" as evenly as he can. He wants to beg, plead, argue his case. He didn't mean to. He'd never have said anything, not if it hadn't been up to him. He'd never have shoved this in Bruce's face if his stupid fucking alien body hadn't decided to go ahead and do it for him. But it won't help. He's going to be reasonable. Adult. Whatever it is Bruce wants to say to him, however gently Bruce is about to let him down, he'll listen to it. He'll say that he understands, and of course there's no reason it should affect the league or their working relationship. That he just needs some time to get past it, and never mind that it's been months already and it's only gotten worse, more, every single day. "It's me, isn't it?" Bruce says. It isn't a question. Not really. And he doesn't inflect it like one. He's standing there, calm, leaning against the doorframe, hands in his pockets. Clark shuts his eyes. "Yes." Silence. Bruce draws a slow breath. Clark can hear it. And then takes a step into the room. "It's," Bruce says, and then stops. His throat clicks as he swallows. Clark can hear that too. "It's how you feel about me." He wants confirmation. It's Bruce. Of course he does. He's not trying to be cruel. But Clark can't answer. His throat's closed, his eyes are hot, squeezed shut and still stinging stupidly. God, he can't do this. He was an idiot to think he could do this. "Clark," Bruce says, and his tone is strange, soft but urgent. One stride, another, and he moves, the fabric of his shirt sliding against itself. Reaching out, Clark thinks, and doesn't move, even though he knows perfectly well what's going to happen the moment Bruce's hand closes around his shoulder. Light spills up the side of his throat, bright enough that he can see the dull glow of it behind his eyelids, even without looking through them. And Bruce's breath catches. He doesn't lift his hand away.
Christ, I'm sorry.
As if it's his fault. As if any of this is his fault, except for being himself. Except for being so remarkably easy to love once Clark had a little practice.
Bruce, I'm not good at this, Bruce interrupts. You're lucky, you know, in a way.
He stops.
I wouldn't have to be good at it if you could just see it instead.
Clark doesn't even understand what that's supposed to mean at first. He just sits there. And then he does understand, sucking in a sharp, startled breath, and he looks, can't not, because Bruce is wrong. He can see it. The way Bruce is holding himself, his face, his mouth, his eyes. The light flares up, sudden and brilliant, endless shifting colors spilling out all over him, and Bruce is already moving, hand rising from Clark's shoulder to his face, holding him there, bringing their mouths together in one sudden, frantic rush.
I wish you could, he says against Clark's jaw when it's over. You don't even understand how you look, Clark. I wish I could give that back to you. I wish I could be more...
No, Clark says. No, don't. And he turns his face again, can't help it, finds Bruce's mouth and kisses him, long and slow and lingering.
You said it yourself. It's you, not me.
This? And he finally manages to drag himself away, long enough to make Bruce look at him, to look at himself. Jesus, his hands, his arms are like a goddamn disco ball. He can't stop smiling. This is you. This is how you make me feel. And something crosses Bruce's face then, that's brighter than any light, more dizzying than any swirl of colors, before he draws Clark's face up with shaking hands and kisses him again. The end.